Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Judges chapter 3. Judges chapter 3, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof, namely, five lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites and the Sidonians and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgat the Lord their God, and served Baalim and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer unto the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel, and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. And by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. And Ehud made him a dagger, which had 2 edges of a cubit length. And he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, the king of Moab, and Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bare the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal, and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, Keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat. And Ehud put forth his left hand, and took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. And the haft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. And Ehud went forth through the porch, and shut the doors of the parlor upon him, and locked them. And when he was gone out, his servants came, and when they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked, they said, Surely he covereth his feet in his summer chamber. And they tarried till they were ashamed, and behold, he opened not the doors of the parlor. Therefore they took a key and opened them, and behold, their Lord was fallen down dead on the earth. And Ehud escaped while they tarried, and passed beyond the quarries, and escaped unto Seirath. And it came to pass, when he was come, that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, Follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him, and took the fords of Jordan toward Moab, and suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty, all men of valor, and there escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his word. Well, I must of necessity be somewhat short here because of the time we took in Hebrews chapter 10. So let us say in the first portion, then, verses 1 through 4, that you yourselves are to be armed for war. It's a very interesting passage, and I would encourage you to think on it later and to read it, because what the Lord says here is that he left these five nations in the land to try Israel, and not just to try them, but to teach them to war. To teach them, those who had come out of Egypt with Joshua had all died, and that next generation had conquered, and then they were passed away. And this next generation that rose up after that generation, the third from Egypt, had no sure skills for war because their parents had done all the work for them. And so in the conquering of the land then, after the land was subdued, the Lord left certain others. Did you notice that? Only that the generations of Israel might know, or the children of Israel might know, to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. Christian, you are to be armed for war and ready for battle. Girt your sword upon your side. Train with it. If you're going to go to the range, this is your weapon. The range that you ought to go to is out there in the world, and this is your weapon. Carry it. Train with it. Learn how to use it. Learn how to defeat the arguments, the thought forms of the enemy. Learn with it how to defeat the wiles of your enemy, the devil. Follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Train with your weapon. Train with that sword of the Spirit. Be ready armed for war. Because this indeed is not a cakewalk in these days. The Lord has indeed told us that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, with powers, with the rulers and of the darkness of this present age. So then take up the whole armor of God. Take up that sword of the Spirit. Learn how to parry with it. The Lord says here in chapter 3 of Judges that he left the evil ones in the land so that his people might learn to war. How are you? How are your skills coming? Have you been out training? You should be. Train and train and train some more. Learn to think God's thoughts after him. So that's the first portion. The second portion is, here's what happens when you don't train. If you don't, this is just a principle. You can write this down and you can learn to live by it. It doesn't get any more, quote unquote, rubber meets the road than this. If you don't fill your mind with God's word, the world will fill you with its thought forms. It doesn't get any more clear or any more real than that. Notice what happened when the children of Israel failed to take up the sword. When they failed to take up the sword, what they ended up with was their daughters marrying the heathen and their sons taking heathen wives. And they ended up worshiping their gods. Idolatry was the result of not training. What do you think the Apostle Paul means when he says in 2 Corinthians 10, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ? How many are left out of the word every? None. Every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. How does Paul begin that? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, to the pulling down of strongholds. If you don't train, if you don't fill your mind with the sword of the Spirit, then the devil and the world and the flesh will fill you with thought forms that will lead you, if unchecked, to idolatry. It is that simple. We used to say, garbage in, garbage out. It's even worse than that. Because garbage comes in by osmosis. It's simply there. You walk through it. You slog through it every day. You cannot avoid it. Paul said, you know, I told you you should not eat with those idolaters. What I meant was, if anyone was named a brother, because otherwise you'd have to go out of the world to avoid idolaters. Otherwise you'd have to go out of the world to avoid idolatry. You'd have to go out of the world to avoid the corruption that surrounds us in our society. And it's not just America, it's every society. We're not going out of the world, Lord willing, anytime soon. So we must equip ourselves. We must equip ourselves with the word of the Lord. It must be our first thought in the morning. What does God think of this? You know, that old, that tired out phrase, now, what would Jesus do? Of course, we know that what they mean by that is, you know, gee, how can I live rightly before God and be acceptable to Him? Well, it's not what would Jesus do in that point, it's what did Jesus do. But more than what would Jesus do, how about what would Jesus think? And how does Jesus command us to think? Here's how He commands us to think. It's very simple. Bring every thought captive to my obedience. And if we're not training and filling our minds with God's Word, then make no mistake. To the extent that you're not thinking of God's Word, that you're not training in God's Word, knowledge of the world is coming up. And to the extent that you are filling your mind with good things, you're bringing thoughts captive to Christ. You see that? Both hands move simultaneously. One goes up and one goes down. It's not one goes up and you get the luxury of this one staying where it was. Or one goes down and you get the luxury of this staying where it was. Either you're thinking of Christ or you're thinking of the world. Either you're obeying Him or you're obeying the thought forms of the world. Either your thinking is moved and guided and directed by Christ, or it's moved and guided and directed by the world, the flesh, and the devil, by natural thought forms. And this is what happens. It leads to idolatry. All right, so then we have the crying out of the Israelites to the Lord in two instances following, in the instance of Kuthan Rishathaim, and you know what his name means. It means the black one who is twice bad, or twice evil, right? Rishon, evil. The bad one who is doubly evil. And he's the one who ruled over Israel. Did you know that when you don't think about the Lord Jesus Christ, when you don't meditate on His Word, when you don't train, that you end up being ruled by such as are black and doubly evil? Sin is a hard master. Of course, then he is destroyed by Othniel, Caleb's younger brother, and also his son-in-law, right? His daughter was married to Othniel. Caleb's daughter was married to Othniel. So Othniel was a great judge in Israel. They threw off the yoke of Cushan-Rishathaim. And then the second is Ehud and Eglon, the second deliverer, because after that they had been delivered, the children of Israel grew complacent, and once again they fell into sin, and the Lord raised up another oppressor over them, Eglon, the fatted calf. And he was put to death by Ehud, the left-handed, the trickster. I've got an errand. I've got a present for you, O king. Wait here. Oh, I love presents. Okay, here it is. I got a special dagger I made just for you. And so he dies. And the children of Israel go down and they defeat the Moabites. And then there was one more deliverer mentioned, Shamgar. But the principle is the same throughout all three of these circumstances. They did not train. Rather than making war, they made peace. They intermarried. And they ended up in apostasy and idolatry. All right, thus ends the reading then of Judges chapter 3. Let's stand and continue praising God in the same